Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Blackhawks back on NBC Sports Chicago. They begin a home-and-home tonight with the Dallas Stars at the United Center. 1 hour, pregame live. Starts our coverage at 6:30. Pat Foley, Stevie Conroy have the call at 7:30. Sunday, Ryan Pace's franchise quarterback will face the team that Pace traded a haul of picks to in order to make sure he got Mitchell Trubisky. But with the Bears one loss away from another losing season under his watch, should the GM be feeling any heat? And yesterday we had a breakthrough. Nico Mirotic said that he accepts Bobby Portis' apology. Today, Bobby said, that's cool, but I still haven't talked to him. And welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good day. One more in your weekends. Here, I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. He is from the Chicago Sun-Times. He's our friend Patrick Finley from Pro Football Weekly and the Scories Hub. Arkish and Mark Lazarus, he's from the Chicago Sun-Times. He also has a brand new hockey book out. We'll tell you how you can get your hands on a copy for the holidays for gifts. All right, let's start with football. 49ers and Bears will tangle on the lakefront on Sunday. Jimmy Garoppolo makes his first ever start in a 49er uniform. He does it in his hometown hub. This is going to be boiled down to Garoppolo versus Trubisky. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, it's fair right now because they're both, you know, just getting started. The irony of this is that Mitch Trubisky actually has about four times as much experience as Jimmy Garoppolo. Everybody acts like, you know, Garoppolo's the cagey vet and the guy you want. Yeah, he's trained under Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, but he's played 1.5 games in the NFL. They both have bad football teams. So, you know, we'll see what they can do to lift bad teams. But this is going to last for the next 5-10 years if they're in the league. And this is just this is almost like a prologue. It's not even a chapter.
Well, and to me, the most interesting part of this is, you know, what's the argument we've made about Trubisky? You know, he doesn't have weapons. Well, look at the weapons Garoppolo has. He doesn't have anybody either. Like Trubisky, he can turn around and hand the ball off to a pretty good running back. That's about it. And so it'll be fun to watch how they do with, you know, not good pass catchers or disappointing or beneath pro level. And then 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if they can actually surround them with guys. And, you know, both teams traded draft picks to get them. And, you know, that lessened what they're going to be able to pick up later.
See, I don't feel this is like a Garoppolo versus Trubisky situation because it wasn't an either-or situation. It's not like the Bears were thinking about drafting Jimmy Garoppolo. They had a quarterback at the time, at least they thought they did. Like, if it's Deshaun Watson versus Mitch Trubisky, that's the matchup I want to see down the road because those are the guys where you picked one of you sacrificed a lot to get that pick and you had those choices. And you went with Trubisky. Jimmy Garoppolo was never really an option for the Bears.
What you say is mostly true, but the fact that Garoppolo's the hometown kid, the fact that people have wanted him here since he came out, it was Phil Emery who passed on him, but he was clearly available for trade. And so in that regard, if Ryan Pace had offered Bill Belichick the number 3 overall pick in the draft, he could have kept 2 threes and a 4, and he could have had Jimmy Garoppolo. And when you look at what John Lynch got him for, it may even be that if he had offered them 35 this year and their second next year, that still would have been twice what they paid. I'm not saying it was possible. The Patriots were in a bad spot. They were trying to hang on to Garoppolo because they didn't know how much more they could get out of Brady. But you can't just ignore the fact that it was a possibility.
Well, and the money, though, makes them, you know, apples and oranges in that the 49ers bought the right to pay him either, you know, the franchise tag next year or a max contract. The Bears are going to be paying their guy like a rookie for the next 3 years.
All right, here's our Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. How hot should GM Ryan Pace's seat be right now? Not at all. A little toasty. 5 alarm fire. How do you vote?
What are the seat warmers in, like, really nice cars? Mm-hmm. Like that. Like, that's not a choice. That's somewhere between not at all
it's
and
a little toasty.
A little toasty, not super toasty. Let's see what they do against the second worst team in football on Sunday. Let's see what they do Christmas Eve against the worst team in football. I think that this could get worse. Right now, I think he's done a good job of distancing his own timeline from that of John Fox. And
well, that's exactly
that,
right. Doesn't he get to ride out this Trubisky thing for a year or two before his fate is really decided?
Yes, unless things just embarrassing.
They're tied at
the
hip right now.
Yeah, he and Trubisky are. And that was, you know, part of the genius of drafting the quarterback when he did is all of a sudden he's now attached to his star, not John Fox's.
Right.
Yeah, I really think it's not at all because, A, John Fox was not forced on him. but left completely to his own devices, John Fox wouldn't have been the head coach of the Chicago Bears. That's number one. And number two, the injuries are the injuries, and those are not on him. These are not kids that he drafted who were medical rejects, who had concerns, who had red flags. And so next year, it could jump from toasty to you're in trouble real quick, but at least I think at least going into this offseason, getting a crack at his own coach hiring, adding some more talent, not yet.
And it's also going to be another year minimum before we know whether Trubisky is special.
Absolutely.
Probably 3 years before we know whether he made a good decision there. Until we know for sure, I don't think you can judge how Ryan has done.
So you wrote an article a few weeks ago that I read. I read a lot of almost everything you write.
Thank you.
B grade you
He's
gave him.
He's the guy. He's the one.
I am right here.
You found him.
B grade you gave him with a possibility if Trubisky's really good, trending up. If Trubisky's a bust, I think you wrote, trends down. Mm-hmm. What would you give him today? The letter grade still pretty much a B?
Yeah, you know, you might go to a B minus only because he had a bad year in free agency this year, and the exact opposite of what I just said about Kevin White and Cam Meredith. You should have had a warning flag on Marcus Wheaton. That's why he's available. Pernell McPhee never gets out of Baltimore if his knees aren't shot. And so in free agency, he struggled a little bit more. But even there, I don't think he gets enough credit. Akeem Hicks is a really good signing. Now, Danny Trevathan, again, we got to wait and see. You got to see about the health. Even if they don't bring Amu Kamara back, he gave him a good year. Maybe they bring him back. I still think Marcus Cooper can play. So some of these kids, Josh Sitton, you know, and a lot of people would have gotten him. He did get him. I'm not even as down on Bobby Massie as I was a year ago. Now, the flip side is I don't like the Charles Leno contract. Right. But at the end of the day, yeah, I think he's in that BB minus
range. Well, and a lot of these free agents that he signed in the past offseason, you know, you wouldn't know it by the way the contracts are described, but he can get out from underneath them before next season almost with every guy. So that will save some face there.
A lot of Blackhawks fans are really jealous of that statement.
Salary cap flexibility.
Restructuring.
The other piece, whether Bears fans want to hear it or not, you cannot give him a pass on Mike Glennon. I don't give him a pass on Mike Glennon. That was $18.5 million poorly spent. I know of three other teams that told me they would have done exactly the same thing. He went all in at the position. He got what was believed to be the best free agent quarterback available. Just turned out that the guy isn't a good quarterback.
Case Keenum would look a whole lot better.
Well, Case Keenum came a lot cheaper and would look like, but Case Keenum's
about,
but Case Keenum's going to get paid now. And Case Keenum would not have been able to do here what he's doing in Minnesota.
There's no question. All right, let's move on. Well, Bobby Portis says, I'm glad to hear that my apology was accepted. I still haven't spoken to Nico Mirotic. Okay, Laz, there's been a lot made that somebody should get these two in a room, force them to talk. I'm not sure I agree with that philosophy, but it sounds like for the first time, at least they can play together.
Oh, my God. Grow up, the two of you, you big babies. You're grown men. You're making tens of millions of dollars. And your children, this has gone on so long. Men fight. It happens in sports. They get over it. They move on. They're both so childish about it.
What if sometimes football writer laid you out in the newsroom?
You were there when Finley did that?
Broke your face. Would you accept it and move on?
You know what? If it meant my job, yeah. I don't have the leverage that these guys have where they can say, I ain't playing with that guy no more. It doesn't work
well,
that way.
Well, and here's the wrinkle that makes this really interesting.
Is there anything interesting about this?
There is.
I've yet to find it.
Is that they can't trade Nico for 6 weeks. So all Nico's got to do is appear to be a good soldier here and force his way out of town in 6 weeks. I see no reason why he would want to stay here to play on
why
a
Why is it always the Bulls? Why do the Bulls always have these stupid, exhausting melodramas? Every year it's the Bulls.
You just lost me on something else, though.
I lose people a lot
I'm missing
of ways.
Something. What has Portis done? I mean, maybe throwing the punch was wrong.
And punch,
from what I've heard,
face?
I'm not even sure that was wrong.
That's fair. No, certainly Mirotic is the bigger baby.
That's right.
Yes.
Portis, I mean, what he said, I felt the same thing. I'm listening to Mirotic yesterday, and he says, I've accepted his apology. And the next question was does Portis know that? And he said, well, he does now. Well, obviously, he didn't even talk to him about it. I mean, that's not an apology. And I don't blame Portis last night for saying, well, I haven't talked to him yet. I'm told by people who were there that Mirotic got what he deserved, to be honest with you. I don't know if that's true or not. But
I've heard the same thing.
Since then,
look,
I don't know what
I don't cover the
wrong.
NBA. I come from a different world where this kind of stuff never gets out and would never be a big thing. But isn't it the coach's job or the front office's job, someone to manage some egos here and put them in a room and say, look, move on. Get over it. Like, this doesn't happen in other
Correct,
sports.
But if Nico's agent says he's not getting in a room with him, there's nothing you can do.
Nico could say, screw
Until,
you,
like,
agent.
Said,
I'm sitting
six
in the
weeks,
room.
Well, trade him.
Yeah, I mean, the agent's job is to be as much of a pain in the butt as humanly possible so they can trade him in 6 weeks. Also, you say that this stuff doesn't get out in hockey. The secret is to have the media room next to the meeting rooms, and then you can hear arguments in the hallway.
Yeah, that was another ridiculous Fox comment.
I think we're all agreeing with you. I think we're all saying, yeah, Nico's a punk, but I mean, yeah. I'll put words in your mouth. I agree with you on that.
Punk, depends if he's watching
or not. I was going baby,
yeah.
But yeah, punk's okay.
All right. Blackhawks played well the other night, but in a loss. They've played well over the past few weeks. What's the biggest reason they've turned it around, and is it sustainable? We will ask Tracy Myers from NBCSportsChicago.com next on STL.
For Chicago's sports talk with sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world. Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Hawks fans, text LOTTERY to be Hawks. Now, win a chance to win tickets to the Ambassador Suite, courtesy of the Illinois Lottery. That's LOTTERY to 242957. Be sure to watch the drawing in the second period of tonight's game. All right, for the final time from NBC Sports Chicago, and then she's moving over to NHL.com, and we love her dearly, Tracy Myers. Tracer, let's talk about why this Hawks team has played so much better. I remember settling into my couch on a Saturday night to watch the Blackhawks and the Penguins in Pittsburgh, and I went, okay, they're going to want revenge after a 10-1 loss opening night. They're going to crush the Hawks, and the Hawks beat them 2-1. Why are they playing such better hockey?
Well, in that particular game, I think they just match up really well with Pittsburgh. I don't know if it's just because of where both teams are and then the mystique of both, but yeah, they just seem to work against Pittsburgh. But overall, this team, it's just clicking, and I mean by that, the chemistry. And, you know, as much as Joe Quenneville likes to change lines, once he realizes he might be onto something, he's let these guys be, and it's working. These guys are kind of developing more chemistry. They're just getting time to work through the kinks, and you're starting to see that on the ice. And the other thing is they're getting a little confidence, because all it took was getting a couple goals, and you've seen that the bounces are starting to go their way. The power play is starting to go their way. Confidence is a huge thing, and once you start tapping into it, it's amazing what can happen.
Goaltending, Corey Crawford is having maybe his best season. Unfortunately, there's no Olympics this year for the NHL, because I believe he'd be representing Team Canada. What's your thoughts on where Corey is now? Top five guys in the league? Is that how well he's playing?
I think so. You know, and you know, to those of us who have watched Corey for the last couple of years, this is really not surprising. The knock on him a couple years ago was, well, look at the team he's got in front of him. Well, you know what? The last couple of years, as the defense has gone through a lot of changes, he has had to step up his game, and he has. So as far as I'm concerned, he should get more notoriety around the league. Whether he does or not, you know, I don't know. I think there's still a lot of people who look back on the few glitches he's had, but as far as I'm concerned, he's absolutely top five. He's carried this team, and as this team has gone through a lot of ups and downs, he has been the one constant since the start of the season.
All right, last one for you. The defense core, obviously there's cap room now after the Marian Hossa LTIR. Is that the number one thing they need to add, or are you satisfied with how they're playing defensively?
Well, I think they're playing better, and you know, I've liked the combination of Keith and France, and I like that Coach Joe Quenneville has kind of knocked Seabrook's minutes back. I think it's helped him dramatically. The Forsling-Ruda pair has been really good. You know, as of now, I think they're fine, but at the same time, if something's out there that's really appealing, I think you at least have to give it a look. You know, Stan Bowman says it all the time. If we've got the chance to improve, you do so. So as good as everything is starting to settle in right now, I don't think you entirely rule it out.
Tracy, all the best, and we will be seeing you around the rink plenty with NHL.com. God bless.
Thank you very much.
There she is, Tracy Myers, headed off to NHL.com after today. You cover this team daily. Are they as good a team as the way they've been playing? Because despite the loss to Nashville, they played well.
Nope. Yep.
And they've been good on the road.
Yeah, no, this is the team that we expected to see. I mean, what they did those first two games where they won 10-1 against Pittsburgh and 5-1 against a really good Columbus team, that was an aberration against backup goalies, and that's fluky in the first week of the season. As bad as they were the next 12 games, scoring 23 goals in 12 games, that was never going to be that bad all season long. So where they are now, this is kind of what we thought. They're pretty good. They're not great. They're pretty good. The defense is coming around, and that's the biggest difference. They have the puck more now because they're getting out of their own defensive zone. Franzen's been a nice addition. Forsling and Ruda are emerging as shutdown pairs. You know, they needed that since Jalmerson's been gone. That's what they were trying to find those first few weeks of the season. So they're getting the puck out of the zone. They're starting to sustain some offense in the offensive zone, and they're starting to look like the Blackhawks again a little bit. They're flawed, but they're getting better, and that's what you need to see.
I have had a feeling, really, since day one and through the difficult time as well, it's just a feeling, I can't defend it, that if Jonathan Toews can become Jonathan Toews again, and if Brent Seabrook can hop in the Wayback Machine about 3-4 years, and I never saw DeBrincat coming. I mean, you know, he was interesting.
None of us thought it would be this quick.
I think this team can make a cup run. I just there's still enough star power that if the stars play like stars, you get hot. Who knows?
You got to get in first.
Well, and, you know, we were joking in the green room about how every year at this time, what's the question you get more than anything? Should we panic, more or less?
Well, yeah, and nobody ever does, but it feels different this season a little.
Does DeBrincat change that a little bit, in that, you know, he's somebody that you can see being much better at the end of this year?
Here's the thing that gives you hope as a Hawks fan that you didn't have in the past. A, you've got $2.5 million of cap space. Like Cap said, if something happens, if there's an injury, they actually have some rainy day fund. Remember when Patrick Kane got hurt in 2015? All of a sudden you get Antoine Vermette. Those kind of additions at the end can make the difference. Also, don't forget, they have a kid coming up. Just like, remember John Hayden last year finished Yale and came in around March? Dylan Sakura might be the best player in the nation right now in hockey. He's big, he's strong, and he's fast, and he can score. He's their trade deadline acquisition. He's coming in March also, on top of whatever else they might
have. He plays.
He's a forward. And he's a banger, and he's the kind of guy that Joel's going to love. And they think he can step right in.
Kevin Hayes type player?
Yes, and he's unsigned, which gives you the worry that he's going to leave like Kevin Hayes. But he's made it pretty clear that he wants to be playing for the Blackhawks this spring. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. So you've got things on the horizon that are coming. And in the meantime, Joel is letting these guys play. Like Tracy said, the lineup hasn't changed in about 2-3 weeks here, and that's why because they're winning. And you got guys that are, you know, you're starting to see that Bowman, Wingles, Hayden line. That's a pretty good line. DeBrincat is starting to score. Hey, there's some balance here, and the defensive pairings are working. So you have a little bit of, you have insurance in your back pocket, but you also had the patience to let these things go.
Can we give Bowman enough credit that he knew DeBrincat was coming, and that gave him the comfort level to trade Panarin?
He did not think that DeBrincat was going to make the team out of camp.
The Panarin trade took some stones. I mean, whether it's good or bad, I don't know, but I got to give him some credit.
I thought that was a great trade from the outset, just because he knew he was losing Marian Hossa. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Saad is that kind of player, and he knows that Jonathan Toews.
Yeah, I'm not a Connor Murphy guy.
He's been a lot better lately, and it's amazing because he's doing it on the left side. I mean, you got to give Joel Quenneville a lot of credit here. He put Murphy on the left side. That's weird. It worked. He took Seabrook off the power play and lowered his minutes, and Seabrook's playing better. He went with Jan Rudin. That's working out great. He put DeBrincat out there and has been letting him play, and that's working. He went with that banger line on the fourth line, and that's working. He's making a lot of moves. He's adjusted the power play. He's tried almost everyone on the penalty kill.
Can you get Jonathan Toews going a little bit?
Toews is right there. I mean, he's playing better this year than he did
last year.
He's
playing like a C right now.
I think he's playing more like a B. He's not getting the breaks, and you've seen that from a lot of these guys. Saad went a long time without scoring. Sharp went a really long time, 16 games without a point. And you're starting to see these guys start to break out. You need Richard Panik. You need a lot more out of Richard Panik. That's the guy right now that needs to step up.
All right, if anyone out there wants to get an outstanding hockey book, our guy Mark Lazarus has his new book out. If These Walls Could Talk, about the Chicago Blackhawks, how do people get a copy?
You can get a copy on anywhere, at Barnes & Noble, at a real store, at Amazon Online.
How about a signed copy?
You want a signed copy, you can email me at lazarusbook@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that happens. It's a great stocking stuffer, or about a night 4 or 5 Hanukkah present.
There you go.
Let's not oversell it, you know.
There you go. There you go. Lazarusbook@gmail.com. Lazarusbook@gmail.com. It's a great gift. All right, up next, Tiger Woods is back for the 56th time. And why won't anybody volunteer to be the Tennessee coach? That plus some fighting words from earlier this week. That's next on STL.
When the game ends, switch back to CSN Chicago for Bears postgame live. The team will take you through all the key moments from the field, hear from Coach Fox, and get live player reactions. Bears postgame live after every Bears game on CSN Chicago.
Oh, okay. I think Mirotić is handling this, frankly, like a baby right now. I mean, he's got a...
Well, the Bulls can get
okay, so Patrick Finley laid you out in the newsroom. And they said,
"Well, was I part of the fight or was it a cheap shot?"
It was a fight.
Okay.
You stole a topic from him. He doesn't like
no,
it.
No, bam!
Wow. He lays you out. Could you
work
together?
It would never happen, number one.
There you go. I think you could take Johns.
I've got the reach for sure.
Yeah,
I've
he's
got
a
the reach
guy.
On Johns. Yeah. Yeah, I think.
We're talking a lot about journalists beating each other up in this show.
We are. A lot of fighting going on. I'll call somebody Chrissy Evert.
So this is why I like
to respond.
To Johns? I sit next to Johns every day. If I wanted to lay him out, I would have by now.
I'm glad I'm the only guy on my beat. I don't have to deal with his ego.
John says you couldn't take him down.
Take him down. I can certainly take him down. If he wants to run away from me, he's
dude. He would just throw like a soda on your like $3,000 coat, and you'd be so upset that he would be able to attack you.
Can I respond? I haven't listened to Jim Rohn since that day, and I will never listen to him again. Completely lost all credibility.
Oh, the Chrissy Evert thing. Yeah, yeah. Some people say that it was planned.
Yeah, it was almost like an Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler.
I'm going to call you Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
It was probably the greatest thing that ever happened to his career, though.
Yeah.
I mean, his career.
I never heard of him until then.
Which is kind of an unfortunate thing to say about a journalist, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's not call him a journalist here,
Okay,
right?
So nobody lunge at Cap right now because his career would
take off. All right. Tiger Woods went back to work today, and Tiger Woods was really, really good. Yesterday in the Pro-Am, 340-yard drive to the green, made the eagle putt, and a lot of golfers saying, uh-oh. He looks like the Tiger of old. He played really well today, shot a 3-under-69. Hub, are you excited to see him back? Because for me, I am. I would love to see this guy start to play really good golf.
Honestly, I don't really care. Some golf I like. I'm a lefty guy, so I got to find somebody else. I've just had a belly full of Tiger, to be honest with you. If he's good, great, but it's not going to change the game.
I know that golf has taken a hit without Tiger in terms of ratings and stuff like that. It's been better than it's ever been since he left because there is actual drama every event. There are so many good players right now, and they're all flawed. Like, every time Tiger led after three rounds, it's over. Now there's Dustin Johnson at a sand trap somewhere, and who knows what's going to happen.
Jordan Spieth,
it's more exciting.
But you mean flawed as a golfer, not flawed as a human being?
Nobody's as flawed as Tiger Woods as a human being.
Yeah. First of all, wake me up when he plays a tournament that's not at a resort with 16, what, 16
He's three
people?
Shots off the lead, by the way,
18
out of 18
people? Yeah, there's a baker's dozen other people playing in this tournament. America loves a comeback story more than anything, and you can do a whole lot of stuff wrong, but we like you on the comeback, and because of that,
but we also
he might be more he's more attractive to me today.
Oh,
than
I agree
he was
with that. I used to hate him, and I've at least graduated to indifferent on him. But America also loves to crush a comeback story.
Well,
we're a vicious, visceral
people. We crush,
people.
And then we
and
build
if
you back
up. And if he fails
up.
Again, and if his back acts up again, there's going to be a lot of Schadenfreude out there.
I don't want to be the turd here, but I think there's a reasonable chance that Dustin Johnson is as flawed as Tiger Woods.
I think you're exactly right. By the way, we got to get out of here. Is John Fox finish out the season as the head coach?
Yes, he will.
Not that. Makes no sense. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.